everyone. I'm Elena, and this is the Shift Happens F1 podcast. It's just me today in the studio recording because it's almost finals week, and Ariana is currently cramming out some papers. So that's why it's only me today. And also, that is why the episode is coming out so late. I had the unfortunate circumstance of being displaced from my apartment for the past 2 straight weeks, and I'm finally back in my own bedroom, and it's been a little rough moving back in and then also having to do finals and final project, but we're here, it's done, better late than never is what I always say, so we'll get into it. To start off, it was the first sprint week of the season, and to be honest, I probably enjoyed the sprint race way more than I enjoyed the actual race, seeing as how both of them happened around the same time in Florida, like 3 a.m. to 4 a.m. was kind of the time, and I almost fell asleep during the actual race, but during the sprint race, I was like wide awake. I was tweeting, I was going off. I loved it. It was great. One of the only things I can really remember from sprint qualifying was the track literally catching fire. I don't remember if they explained it. I think it was something to do with the sparks underneath the car, and the grass was really dry and it just caught fire. Just happened during, I think, Q1 or something like that. Just literally on fire. But rain came along in Q3, washed that out. But that rain caused some delicious chaos. The final times were all over the place. Norris ended up in pole. Hamilton was P2, Alonso P3, Verstappen was down in P4, gave me a little bit of hope, but, you know, it all got squashed later, you know, when Max Verstappen just came and did what Max Verstappen does, which, whatever, but, no, moving on to sprint, like I said, really enjoyed this race. I was fully awake for it, being 3 a.m. in Florida. I have a bit of a messed up sleep schedule, but, like, by the time it hits 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., I'm a little tired. I was up, though. I was all ready. First lap saw Norris and Hamilton going at it for P1. Hamilton took the lead, which the Chinese crowd loved that. Norris slid off the track, and then I think it put him down into P7 by lap 3. His poor little dreams all squashed and squandered away by basically Hamilton doing a Verstappen move. It was actually really aggressive, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Verstappen, I think in the first couple laps, complained of a battery problem, and when I tell you the copious amount of hope it gave me before he decided to shatter all my dreams by, apparently he fixed his battery problems, whatever, I was happy, and then I wasn't. Then Max Verstappen and his, you know, fixed battery slid easily up into P1, and they stayed there for basically the rest of the race. And then he won. We then saw later in that race, it was Alonso, Sainz, Perez, and Norris. They were all in this little DRS train going at each other for P3. Alonso and Sainz had some crazy, like, pulling moves on each other. Alonso received actually a penalty after the race for one of the moves he pulled on Sainz, and to, you know, that was just the icing on the cake, because during that race, Alonso got a puncture, and he ended up retiring the car anyways, so it wasn't a great race for him, but I'm sure he was happy that he got to, you know, do a bit of actual racing and kind of, like, getting your elbows out type of thing, but, no, then Sainz and Leclerc ended up going at each other for a little bit in the, interviews afterwards. Leclerc was not a happy bird. He was just like, he always goes after me more than all the other drivers, and I don't know. I mean, I think it's just one of those things where you're in the heat of the moment, and, you know, you want to keep your place, so you're going to do what you got to do, even if it is your teammate. But yeah, I think the sprint race ended up being P1 Verstappen, P2 Hamilton, P3, Perez, P4, Leclerc, P5, Sainz, 6, Norris, 7, Piastri, P8, Russell, P9, Zhou, 10 was Mag, 11 was Ricciardo, 12 was Bottas, 13 was Ocon, 14 Stroll, 15 Gasly, 16 Tsunoda, 17 Albon, 18 Sargent and 19 Hulkenberg, and then the DNF was Alonso, as I mentioned. I thought Hamilton got lower than he did, but no, now that I think about it, no, he was in the top three because he got interviewed and the Chinese crowd absolutely like was going crazy for him. But no, it was honestly really interesting. And next race is Miami, which is also a sprint week, so you know, fingers crossed we get another good one. Q1 was a humongous difference for Hamilton. You know, he finished P2 and then ended up placing and qualifying P18 in Q1, and I think everyone was a little bit shocked by this. It was just such a drastic difference in the span of, I guess, maybe however long it was in between the race and sprint, the race and qualifying. But Q2, the only thing I can remember was Sainz spun off the track, and I think it caused a red flag for a little bit before they fixed it up, and then the session resumed and he made it into Q3. Q3 ended nothing much crazy, no rain. The final placements were Verstappen, Perez, Alonso, Norris, Piastri, Leclerc, Sainz, Russell, Hulkenberg, and Bottas, which honestly pretty good for Kick Sauber to have Bottas be in Q3, and Haas too with Hulkenberg in ninth place. But no, I mean, like, wasn't anything crazy. So now on to what I would consider maybe a snorefest of a race. Not like completely snorefest, but if I had to rate it, it'd probably be a 5 out of 10. It was another Max Verstappen win, you know, surprise, surprise, kind of halfway through. It was a bit of a struggle for me around 3:30 a.m., kind of 4-ish. I was getting real tired, and, you know, the thought of, what if I just went to bed? What would happen then? Kind of came in my mind, but stuck through it and then completely passed out after. So Red Bull, back to our regularly scheduled program, a 1-2. Max Verstappen sped off after lap one, and we really didn't see him again until the safety car came back around. Perez and Alonso had a bit of a battle for P2 in the first couple laps before Perez kind of took it and then kind of stayed in that top three for the rest of the race. Nothing too interesting came from him. Ferrari, Leclerc had a little radio message for, I think it was Xavi told him, you know, plan D, and then Twitter went off again on the whole strategy plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G kind of joke that they always have. Pretty sure plan D was a one stop, which was kind of ambitious for Ferrari, but you know, Ferrari will be Ferrari and we can't really do anything about it. They finished well, P4, P5, nothing much. I can't remember anything really coming from Sainz or Leclerc. I also think it's just because I really wasn't invested because, like, it just, there wasn't anything interesting happening. So I had a hard time remembering all that happened as I was kind of like writing down my plot points, but if I miss something, feel free to tell me. But, no, yeah. Now, what I do remember is a certain Aston Martin driver, but we'll get to him in a minute. The other Aston Martin driver, Alonso, held himself well, managed to finish P7. He kind of always manages to, you know, hold himself well. I mean, like, that's what you get when you're a veteran driver and you've been in the sport for, I don't even know how many years at that point he is. But on the other hand, the little person in the other car, I'm getting tired of Stroll. He rammed into the back of Ricardo and got a penalty, which he deserved, under the safety car in a turn where a bunch of cars were kind of bunched up. I mean, like, you watch the onboard for that, like, there was barely any braking. Like, he slammed into the back of Daniel Ricciardo and, like, the RB went flying forward. I'm very glad he was okay, but, you know, he had to retire the car, and so, but it was so frustrating to me because I was like, that was straight up, like, it was crazy. And it starts to, like, make these conversations of, like, okay, does Lance Stroll really deserve a seat? But then again, I'm like, okay, he's not finishing last. He seems to still make some good races and get points, even though I'm not a big fan of him. Like, he can still drive an F1 car, even though his F1 car seat is bought and he'll forever have it. But it's whatever. I digress. I could go off on a tangent, but I can't. So, Mercedes. So, like I said earlier, Hamilton had a horrible qualifying. Started P18. Had a good redemption race, though. Finished P9. Stark difference between the sprint race and the quali versus the race and the quali. You know, just kind of... Mercedes is not... They're not doing well. I mean, besides Russell, which... Russell kept himself in the top 10 ahead of Lewis again, finished P6. It was another really good race for him. I think Lewis is just ready to go. Like, I think he is just kind of done with the Mercedes car, and I think he just wants to move on to a team where he knows that he'll get some, a good race car and some good race craft, you know, right now where they're at. Because Mercedes just right now isn't in that season where they're able to do things well. McLaren had a great weekend with Lando, finished P2, which was, like, honestly an amazing result. You know, it's not a race win, which, you know, Lando's still holding out for. But that was a really good race. The sprint race was also looking really nice for them until, you know, Lando went off track, made that mistake, and kind of, you know, they lost the chance in that race. But, you know, I think he definitely redeemed himself with the race this weekend, and a P2 finish was really great for the team. Piastri, I feel like he kind of struggled this week. He finished P8, not where he wanted to be, but I think he kept his head up, you know, finishing the top 10 like he always does. You know, I think he tries to put his best foot forward, and sometimes there's just weekends where it doesn't work. But no, he likes that car. I think it goes well with him. So, you know, just kind of moving on to the next week for him. On to Kick Sauber. F1 did some really nice things for Joe this weekend. Seeing as how he's the first Chinese driver to race in the Chinese Grand Prix. I don't think he's the first Chinese driver ever. And if I am wrong about that, I'm very sorry. I apologized. No, they gave him a little, they gave him and his car a little, like, spot of their own at, like, the crowning ceremony, and, which I think was a little much, like, giving him and his own car, like, their own little spot during the, like, trophy. It was a little weird, but, I mean, like, all the nice things they did for him, and, but it also seemed a little PR-ish. I don't know. It's whatever. It was a nice thing to do anyways, but Zhou finished P14. You know, even if it was, you know, not a great finish for him, the crowd was screaming every chance they got when, you know, he would pass somebody, or, like, you know, if he was battling with a Haas, like, they would go nuts for him. It was kind of cute. On the other side of the garage, though, Bottas was the first to DNF, which then caused the whole safety car thing, and then Stroll bumping into Daniel. And that whole thing was a little weird, too, because he pulled off on the side of the track. And from the way that the cameras made it seem, it kind of seemed like he was really close to the track, but the runoff was really far away. But the whole thing was that they had pulled out a yellow flag. And then it took him a while to pull out a virtual safety car. And then it even took him longer to pull out a safety car. So it was just kind of a weird, like, delayed kind of reaction. Like, if you don't know what you're gonna do, or if you need to safety flag, if you need to safety car it or red flag it, like, that's what the virtual safety car is for. Like, it brings everybody, I don't know, I felt like they were weird and, like, didn't know what to do. On to another team who didn't know what to do, Alpine. Still no points, really weren't mentioned much. I don't have much to say on them. I think they finished, like, Gasly was P13 and Ocon was P11. I mean, kind of closer, but at the same time, you have three DNFs, so kind of displaces your finishing a little bit in terms of your performance. Like I mentioned earlier, RB, not a great race for them. Both cars out. You know, Danny got rammed from behind from Stroll's car. Pretty heavy hit. he ended up retiring the car. Yuki also retired the car, so not a great weekend for them. Like I said, in general, just it wasn't very good. Williams, nothing much on them either. Though Logan did get a 10-second penalty for a racing incident with Hulkenberg, which I think that was a little bit harsh too. Like, neither of them crashed out. I don't think there was much damage on either of them, but, you know. I feel like the stewards and the FIA were weird this past weekend, but, it's whatever. Sargeant finished 17th and Albon finished 12th. And then on to the last team, Haas. Hulkenberg finished P10, got a point for the team. It was good. Magnussen in P15, nothing much to say about him. They're doing better than what they... I think the first couple races were really good for them because they were seeming to get some points. I think this one point that Hulkenberg gave them has now put them up into 5 points, which, I mean, like, they're not in the bottom three. They're 7th in the championship constructors. So that's not bad. It's definitely better than what they've been in the past. And I think they're hoping to kind of continue moving forward with that. I think I mentioned it earlier, penalty points. Super weird this weekend. Alonso received 3 driver's points on his license from the sprint. I think Logan, I couldn't find an article that like said what each driver received on penalty points or points on their license, but it was like a weird thing, and like they gave some pretty harsh 10-second penalties to some people who I feel like, you know, like the incident that occurred didn't really match up with the punishment given out, but it's whatever. 3 DNFs, 2 safety cars, I'm pretty sure. I don't think there was a red flag. I think it was just the 2 safety cars. So I would normally be saying on to the race prediction review, but we did not do one this weekend, seeing as how it's been busy time with us for finals. And then I also didn't ask Ariana because she was very busy this weekend and I was very busy with this weekend, and I knew that it probably wasn't going to happen. So, but we are still 10-9. Ariana's leading, but I'll move on now. On to the race result. In P1, Verstappen. P2, Norris. P3, Perez. P4, Leclerc. P5, Sainz. P6, Russell. P7, Alonso. P8, Piastri. P9, Hamilton. P10, Hulkenberg. P11, Ocon. P12, Albon. P13, Gasly. P14, Joe. P15, Magnussen. P16, Stroll. P17, Sargeant. And then DNF Ricciardo, DNF Tsunoda, and DNF Bottas. On to constructor standings. This has changed around a little bit. The points have kind of changed around. The teams and where they stand has not. That's still kind of set in stone. So Red Bull in first place with 195 points. P2 Ferrari with 151. P3 McLaren, 96. P4 Mercedes with 52. P5 Aston Martin with 40. P6 RB with 7. P7 Haas with 5 points. 8, 9, and 10 are Williams, Kick Sauber, and Alpine with 0 points. And then on to the area where we kind of just talk about whatever. I'm going to go back into the Stroll kind of incident here. It kind of really just made me angry a little bit. Like, also because, like, in his radio, when they gave him the penalty point, he kind of radioed back, like, are you kidding me? Like, what the heck? Like one of those things where I was like, okay, I know you're in the car, and I know you're driving, and I know you're racing, and you know, like, things are tense, but you 100% deserve that penalty. Did you not watch the fact that you yeeted Daniel Ricciardo through the air and then caused him to retire from the race? And I know that the stewards don't hand out, you know, penalties or punishments based on the after effects of an incident, and you also need to be cognizant of the other people around you. Like, Daniel Ricciardo really could have been hurt, and I think it's just like crazy. And then Daniel Ricciardo even talked about it in one of the interviews afterwards, about how the fact that, like, Stroll never came and apologized to him, and like Daniel Ricciardo was actually like really upset about the fact that, you know, he did that and then seemed to not understand why he deserved it or like why he got the point, and then also didn't also apologize. So I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm just like, you kind of like make me feel icky sometimes. Also, I'm going to say it. When Lance Stroll has like his beard and mustache and like, I don't know, he looks kind of like a serial killer. I don't like it. But, you know, it's whatever. So the next track is Miami. And I think that's May 3rd and 5th. So not this coming weekend, but the weekend after that. It is also a sprint weekend, so we're going to get two in a row. Very excited. Hopefully both races actually turn out to be, you know, kind of interesting and giving us some kind of race battles and stuff like that. This circuit was, you know, the first Grand Prix was in 2022, so it's going to be the third race. It's 57 laps, 19 turns. It's more of a street-like circuit. You know, that's how it was kind of built to be. It's also got a couple elevation changes in the track, a nice chicane, I think, through turn 13 and 15. But no, I'm excited. I feel like the Miami Grand Prix always gives out like some good stuff, even if it's not on the racetrack, you know, the celebrities and stuff like that you see. And they also do some fun stuff sometimes with the ceremony and the driver. So I think it'll be an entertaining one. They're kind of in the groove now. It's the third one. They kind of know how to do it. But yeah, I'm excited to watch that one. And it'll be the third or the fifth. So I think, don't quote me on it, but I believe my semester of college will have ended. So I will still have access to my recording studio that I use, but for the races after that, I don't know where I'll be recording at. So the quality of these podcasts may drop, may be a little different. It's kind of one of those things where I'm figuring out what we're doing, what's going on, especially with figuring out how Ariana and I are going to do this together, because she goes home after college is done. I think she actually goes home next week. So it's going to be one of those things where we're trying to figure out how we're going to do the podcast together with each other and figuring out the software programs. But if any of you have listened this far and you know about podcast systems and you know how to do kind of distance stuff like that, hit me up. Tell me about some softwares. I'm all ears. I'm trying to figure out some stuff right now. So it's definitely in like, you know, lock in and figure it out mode. But yeah, just wanted to give a heads up and a PSA for any of that. But I feel like that's all I really had to say about kind of this weekend. I know this is more of a shorter episode. I think it's going to be like no more than 30 minutes, which was kind of surprising. I didn't think it was going to be like that, especially when you have a sprint weekend and then a race weekend also. But, you know, it ended up being how it ended up being. But no, that's all I've got for today. So thank you for listening to Shift Happens F1 Podcast. Tune in next time to hear us talk about cars and all things F1. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Bye.